What's up, family? Welcome to another episode of Ray Bridging Humans. It's the place where the people get to hear you and the world get to see it. Man, what's up, family? How y'all doing today, man? Y'all came back for the third episode. Man, I'm so happy and I'm so grateful, y'all, for this journey. And just to be able to bridge humans. Like, this is my passion. This is one of my calls, one of my many calls. And I'm just thankful and I'm grateful that, but thank you for the share. You're here and that I can come to you on a transparent level with what I'm doing. My agenda is connection. My agenda is healing. And my agenda is for everybody's story to be heard. And this is going to be a really special episode. It's going to get a little heavy. I'm going to tell y'all right now, it's going to get a little heavy. And I do know and I understand from this episode, there will be alignment in my personal life. There will be a lot of alignment. There will be some newness for me because, like, you'll get to hear and you'll get to find out things that I am healing from, things that I have overcome, and where I'm going. I got a towel right here, y'all. I love the sun. I love the natural sunlight. But this sun is shining on me, on my old forehead. So I'm just happy to be here. And this is for the YouTube crowd. For those of you who are listening to me on any one of the places where you hear podcasts, I'm also live on YouTube. So you'll get to see my face. I'm in my house. And I'm on YouTube. So even if you're following me on YouTube now, if this is your first episode, please like and subscribe. Y'all, please like and subscribe my show. Yeah, this is new. This is new for your boy, but I'm going to dig in. And before I get started, man, I just want to thank everybody who have pushed me. But specifically, I want to call out three different names. Dominic Lawson, man. One of my high school classmates, man, thank you for pushing me. Dominic has been available for me to talk to about podcasting. He's an incredible podcaster. He's been podcasting since podcasting first started. Thank you, Dominic. He has offered help to me. He has been there. Any questions I've had, Dominic have answered. Brandon Steele, thank you, man. I've actually been on Brandon's podcast. Appreciate you, brother, man. We have developed a tight brotherhood, a bond, man. Thank you so much for guiding me and just being a brother to me, man. Thank you, man. And last but not least, D Smith, man. D Smith, you have been amazing, man. D has stepped up. D has pushed me when I didn't want to be pushed. D has made sure that I get my name out there. D has shared my stuff. Thank you so much, man. D, you have really, really, really been a big, big help, a big benefit to Ray Bridging Humans. Thank you to all of you, man. And I just wanted to kind of get that out there. I want to give them their flowers. And then I got a part of that Romero, man. He just started a podcast, man. So we're kind of in the same lane, man. Y'all, bro, I'm so proud of you, man. Keep going, man. I know we're starting out. We're trying to get our little followers up. I know we're trying to get our little followers up, man. I'm just proud of you too, man, for stepping up and stepping out and deciding to do a podcast. And I just kind of want to take my time with this podcast. I know the first two episodes were like 30 minutes long. This one probably is going to run an hour. And I know it'll probably run over an hour. So that's why I'm going to do a part two of this episode as well, because I deem it important that I get everything I need to get out in this episode. I told y'all on the last episode that this will be a special episode for me, because you'll get to really get to the meat of why I am doing what I'm doing. And this show is simply, you know, I want to belong. I want to belong. I want to belong. And I told y'all that I can build bridges. I can build bridges. I have gone through so many things in my life where I did not have a bridge. I did not have connection. So if you don't have bridge, you don't have a connection. You and imagine, you know, a bridge going over a ravine, and down in the ravine below, it could be water, it could be rocks, it can be woods, but it's not the safest place to get through, but I have overcome a lot of obstacles. I've seen a lot of obstacles, specifically obstacles in my life of self-worth, you know, feeling like, you know, I'm not as good as my counterparts. And I'm going to get off into that, move my notes around, y'all. I got a lot of notes for this episode. But not feeling like I'm as good as my counterparts, self-worth, misplaced identity. You know, I've dealt a lot in my life with not really knowing who I was because I was lost in trying to be everything for everybody else. And y'all, whoever, if y'all been watching me and following me, you'll see a lot of my story through my post. You'll see a lot of my story through the things that I talk about, the things that I frequent. And I know bridging humans and connection is what it's about, y'all, in our communities, man. And we're all in groups, right? We're in different groups in our community. And within the whole community, there are subsections, which are groups within the community. And I'm one of the ones with misplaced identity, overcompensation. You know, because of that misplaced identity, you know, I went through a lot of overcompensation in my life, overcompensating in certain areas because I felt like it could help me. And I know this is very vague, y'all. I am truly getting into my story on this episode, man. And because of these things, emotions that now my life coaching is coming out now. The emotions that I felt was rejection. I felt oppressed. I have subjected myself to mental and emotional abuse most of my life. Most of my life, honestly. In real time, I'm probably about maybe 9 or 10 years old when I really woke up and saw that there were problems. So emotionally and mentally, for real, I'm probably about 9 or 10 years old. How old are you emotionally or mentally when you realize that there had to be changes in your life, or when you got to a place in your life to where things for you shifted in your perspective, things for you shifted in how and what you allowed to go on in your world? And that was big for me. And man, I thought I was a mistake. I really thought I was a mistake. It was so many times. And I know I'm not alone on this, but it was so many. And I'm talking about my obstacles. These are the obstacles because I didn't have that easy connection or that connection to get into different parts of our community. So I had to do it from the bottom. And I had to deal with a lot of obstacles in my life. And I was overcompensating. I felt that I wasn't good enough, and I thought I was a mistake. And so those are some of the byproducts of what I went through on my journey. And I'm going to keep moving, y'all. Yeah. At the core of us all, in each group, right, each group in the community, at the core of us all, we want to belong. We want to belong. All of us want to belong. As human beings, y'all, we want to belong. And I've researched, shout out to all the amazing doctors. I've researched a lot and I've read a lot and I'm well read and I've studied a lot. One guy in particular that I've read his stuff, Dr. Brady, man. Thank you so much. He is a professor. And I read a lot of his stuff, but I follow a lot of different people. I listen to a lot because I know it's important to have an understanding. And the more I get to know, the more I realize I don't know. And just literally the other day, a friend of mine from the church I used to sing at, she passed. She passed, vibrant, you know, in her mid-40s, a woman. She was at church when she passed. And, you know, a lot of times we go and we think that life is so dispendable and we can just do what we want to do because I'm taking care of my health. You know, I'm working out. I'm trying to eat right. I'm not trying to overindulge in stuff. And we can do all those things, man, and still, like, when it's our time to go, we go. And I had a really, really big awakening with that. And I realized, man, you know, I can be doing everything right around here, man, that I think I can, I know I can do right, and I can still leave here. And shout out to you, Tia, man. Her name is Tia Palmer. You will be greatly missed. And me, and I've experienced death and seen death from my family and friends and people I know, but whenever it happens, there's always a reminder. And so her death reminded me even the more why I have to do this episode. I have to do this episode because the world needs to see my story. The world needs to see your story and hear your story. There's so many of us that have stories that exist in these groups, in these subsections of our communities, but we rarely ever come up for air and come out of these groups to connect into different parts to show people, hey, I'm human just like you. But anyway, getting back to it, but belonging. I want to talk about a few parts of belonging. As humans, we want to belong, and the research has been done on it, y'all. But y'all, it has been shown that it's deep rooted in our history and our social nature to want to belong. Like, humans don't want to be alone. I know we got introverts, extroverts, ambiverts, all that good stuff. But at the end of the day, nobody wants to be here alone, and so. I feel like each part of the community that each community that we sit in, whatever community you feel like you sit in, and I'm very dramatic, y'all. I'm a Leo, but we all hold cards. This is my deck of cards. This is my deck of cards. Right, I'm gonna show y'all all my cards today. All my cards getting shown today. But I feel like each community that we're in, we all have a deck of cards. We get a card for different parts of the communities that we sit in, and it's so, and the card represent my belonging, right? I got a couple card games, Cards Against Humanity, and it's a I got a card game called Black Card Game, when you play the game came up, and these games come up because this would determine if you're able to hold a card, if I'm able to say I'm a part of a community. And so each group in the community have cards. There's a card you have, and you'll get your black card taken, you'll get your man card taken, you'll get your cards taken in different communities, man. So we have to think about that and the sense of belonging that all of us want, all of us desire, all of us feel. Community is in belonging. If we all want community, there's community in belonging. There's identity and self-esteem in belonging. Like, my identity, my self-esteem is in my belonging and who I am. And that's who I am and what I represent. Like, that's my identity. And that's in belonging. Like I'm a part of the groups I'm a part of because I see my identity. I find my self-esteem. Also, there's safety in belonging. Everybody want to be safe, regardless of where you're at. What subsection of the community you sit in, you want to feel safe. Even the hardest of the hardest thug, even the deepest of the deepest intellectuals want to feel safe. And so you're going to find safety in wherever part of the or subsection of the community that you exist. And so these are all pieces of wanting to belong. And as y'all can see now, I have a shirt on called Self-Hate Survivor. I am a proclaimed self-hate survivor. Shout out to Charlamagne the God. I went to his podcast festival back in April, and it was some it was a lot of vendors there, and I saw this shirt and it stuck out to me so hard because I know I'm a self-hate survivor. All the things that I just explained to y'all, all the obstacles that I've had to face in my life, And I won't necessarily say I hated myself, but everything that I was feeling spoke to me, you know, feeling so terrible about myself that it could be self-hate. It could be self-hate. And I don't know how many of you have experienced, you know, really aspects of life that brings you to the place to where it's really like, shit, I hate myself. I hate where I am. I hate who I am. Like, I don't even want to be here because of my obstacles. And so I'm wearing this shirt today intentionally because It will help me to move forward in this episode because I am an overcomer of self-hatred. And so now I'm going to show my deck. This is my deck of cards, y'all. I got my deck. And the first card I got in my deck is I'm a God-fearing, believing spiritual man. Like, I'm a God-fearing believer. I'm a spiritual man. I love God. I identify as Christian. And I know I've had on my first episode, I revealed some things to y'all, but y'all, I love God. God is in my heart. He's in my soul. I believe in Christ. I'm a believer, but I'm also a spiritual man. I'm really, really, really in tune with the spirit world, and I'm very intuitive, and I don't take that for granted. And I believe. So that's one of my cards, y'all. Let's go to another card. So this is not in any order. This is just the order that I put them in. So I'm not going in any chronological order. This is just what I put it in. Second card, my man card. I'm a man. I'm a black man. I provide. I take care of the things I need to be responsible for in my life. I'm a taxpaying citizen. I give back. I love being a man, every aspect of manhood. I love my muscles. I love my hair. I love being a man. So I'm a man, and I stand in that. And it is so many important pieces of manhood that I stand with. And even growing up, you know, having to build a dad, it's always important to me to be in my manhood and show that this is who I am. I'm a man. Also, I am a community builder. I'm a community builder. I got a nonprofit that I co-found with my partner, Richmond George, helping inspire men. I'm a mentor, community builder, mentor. These are the things that I do, y'all. This is what I do. These are cards that I hold. I'm telling you, I'm showing y'all all of my cards. These are my cards. These are the things that I stand by. I'm a giver, man, and I've mentored so many young men, and you can go to any one of them, and they'll tell you, hey, Coach Ray, man, he really just want to see me being my best. That's it. I don't push any narratives. I don't push anything with them. I don't try to insert any of my personal beliefs on them, but I try to instill manhood in every young man that I mentor. Shout out to all the boys that I have ever mentored in my life. Some of my mentees, man, they grown, married, got kids and everything now. I know the first person I've ever mentored was Pierre Gwynn, and we met at my home church. That's my guy to this day, man. We still connect. I think he lives in Carolina now, but shout out to you, P, man. I'm so proud of you. He's a father. He's a cook. He's a really, really good cook. And he just started his own business. But, man, I'm so proud. I think that was the first young man I ever mentored. And I have countless young men who have come through my barbershop who I've walked with, who I still walk with to this day. And whether you know it or not, all of you know, you made me a better man by allowing me to mentor you, because at my core of belonging, I never want to see with everything I do in community, I never want to see another young black man going without having what he needs to survive in this world. And that's a big, big, big dream. But that's what I stand by, y'all. That's what I stand by. Confidant. I'm a confidant, y'all. I got the confidant card. I'm a father figure, uncle, brother, friend. Like, all of that sits under confidant. I have so many people that confide in me. So many people that confide in who I am. And I know I got a lot of secrets. As a barber, man, I'm a therapist, man. I got a lot of secrets, y'all. And for y'all, those of y'all who's listening to me on my podcast, I literally have my cards. I got all my cards. I'm putting all my cards on the table today. All my cards going on the table, man. All my cards. So anyway, I got my cards, and I'm going through my cards. Next card, I'm an entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur all my life, man. I'm a business owner. I own a barbershop. I am a master barber. I am a life coach. As I told you, I just retired my real estate license. So with everything that I do, it depends on how I show up with people. And so I always tried to make sure that I showed up the way I need to show up to treat people the way I want to be treated. And that's so important. That's one of my core values. I got to treat people the way I want to be treated. And that's so, so, so important for me. And my last card I want to show y'all, I'm a queer man. I am a queer man. This is the last card. And I intently held this card last to show, because it's not something I'm ashamed of. It's not something that I'm afraid of. This is who I am. And I know because of this last card really, really. Now I've learned a lot. Listen, this is my dick, y'all. Because how many of y'all are willing to show your dick? How many of you are really willing to show all of your dick? This is my dick. This is my dick. And I'm a queer man. And this last card, y'all, the last card in my dick, I've learned so much about life through this card. Like, most of my life lessons I've gotten from this card. Now, don't get me wrong. Opening up a business, being a confidant, a community builder, just being a black man. Y'all, those have given me so many lessons. Being a God-fearing man, those have given me so many lessons. But this one card has been so complex in my life. And I've learned so much from it. This card is the card that, for real, that I've experienced most of my obstacles of rejection, oppression. I've subjected myself to emotional abuse, mental abuse. Yeah, I'm getting into my story now. So I'm definitely getting into my story. But this card, for me to be able to say this today, I've grown so much, y'all. And this is not, now don't get me wrong, I'm giving y'all context. This is not something that I hide with my family. This is not something I hide with my friends. This is not something that I hide with my people. Like, and this is not something that I'm quiet about with most of the close circle people, but this is the first time that I am revealing this publicly to whoever is going to watch this podcast that I'm a queer man. And I'm going to get into my story here, y'all. Most of you already knew. Come on for real. I'm 41 years old. I don't have any kids. I don't have any wife. And I love kids, clearly. But I have any kids. I don't have a wife. And you have seen me. And you know me. And we've both. If this is the first time you've heard this from me, or if you didn't know this about me, I want to talk about the silence. Right. I want to talk about the silence. And, you know, you knew. And I feel like we live in a world now. I know you remember when the military did the whole don't ask, don't tell. I feel like this, how we operate with queerness, it's a don't ask. We know, but don't tell. Especially in this Bible Belt South, don't ask about it. You know, we already know. We know, but don't tell. And I feel like that's the silence component to it. And it's such a silence, y'all. I'm not here to expose anybody, you know. And I got my cards in my hand. I'm not here to expose anybody. I'm not here to make anybody look bad or feel bad. So I won't be calling any names, but I'm going to tell my story here, y'all, because I know it's important and I deem it important for me to tell my story. But so much exists in the silence. And I think for this group that I sit in the community, silence is heavy, and especially in the black community. And a lot of you, and I realized, you know, I told you a lot would be at stake with this episode, because I realized, you know, a lot of you are against it. Like, and I'm going to get into that. If you listen long enough to this episode, I want you to just give me a little grace and just listen to what I have to say. But the silence is complicit. The silence is complicit on both sides. if you're a queer man watching this and you're silent, or if you're a heterosexual person that's listening to this and you're silent to other queer men or lesbian women that you know in the community, like, the silence is complicit. Now, the silence on my side, you know, you call the closet. And the silence on my side, listen, it says, I will not interrupt your image of me. And so I'm going to be silent. That's what it says. And y'all, the silence is so loud. It's so loud. The silence is louder than someone speaking, getting on a roof and speaking to the mountains. Y'all, this silence speaks so loud. And in my community, the silence of basically saying, I'm not going to interrupt what you think of me. I don't even want to touch it, so I'm going to be quiet about it. Now, on your end, because, hey, on my end, I want to belong. I just want to belong. So I'm going to be silent, and I'm going to receive minimal from you, because I know you know, and you treat me a certain way because you know, because you talk about me. Well, I got a friend of mine, and he shared with me one thing his mom told him. He said, Raymond, one thing my mama shared with me, she said, baby, you've already been discussed. And so leading up to this episode, I know and I understand I've already been discussed. I know it, y'all. And it's okay. It's okay, because you see a 40-year-old business owner. You see a 40-year-old decent-looking man that ain't got no wife and kids. What's up? And you operate in ministry? What's up, bro? Like, what's going on? But I know I've been discussed. But you decided to be silent because you want to belong. You have a sense of belonging in your community, and you really don't fully understand this. You really don't fully understand queerness. And so instead of you speaking up and saying something to me, you choose silence, and I choose silence. So we're just a quiet ass community. we do life every day, and there's so much that happens in the silence. So many of us die in the silence. I really, you know, when I think about the silence on our end, and I won't get off into the nuance of a lot of the problems of my community on this episode, but I know for me, the silence bred shame, the silence bred manipulation, the silence bred lying. And I learned all these things. Quiet as it kept, I learned most of these things at church. I learned it in ministry. I learned to be silent. I learned to manipulate the situation and needing to control situations and who you saw me with and who I was around and what you saw me do, because I needed to show my salvation. I needed to show because let me get my card, because I needed to show my God-fearing card. I needed to be able to hold this card because I needed to belong. I needed to belong in ministry. So I silenced that part of me. And I thought I was doing myself a favor. I thought I was doing myself a favor because I'm going to go to church. I'm going to serve. I'm going to sing. I'm going to praise. I'm going to give it my all. But I'm going to be silent about this part of me. And I'm gonna accept the scraps that you give. I'm going to accept minimal that you give. You don't really want to really hang out with me because you see me with some other gay men. So I'm not finna be seen with Raymond. I'm not finna do too much with Raymond, because especially if you're a man in ministry, because I see who he run with. I see who that Negro over there with. And so you choose silence. And so because I've wanted to hold this card of belonging, because you've wanted to hold your faith card, and you know if you begin to embrace me, some of you, I'm not saying everybody, thank you for my allies. Thank you for all my allies. Y'all, I'm going to take my time. I told y'all it was going to be a lot with this episode. But a lot of people, a lot of heterosexual people are silent and have been silent, especially in ministry. Not even just in ministry, in the streets. I'm silent because I don't want to be seen as somebody embracing that part of the community, because I don't want that stain to be on me. And so I'll be silent. I see you needing emotional help, but I'll be silent. I see you needing community and love, but I'll be silent. I'll laugh at you. I'll make fun of you. And I'm going to talk about you. But when I'm around you, I'm just going to be silent and like I don't see because you're silent. And what, and y'all, I realize, I'm going to peep it on me. Like I said, I'm not going to make this about the community at large, the queer community at large. I'm going to make it about Raymond and show y'all what I've had to heal through. Because in my silence, there was rejection, there was depression. And I'm going to get off into my story. But all of those things lied in my silence. And I said, I want to belong. My silence says, I want to belong. Your silence says, you want to belong to your community. And I don't want to get, you know, I got these. I don't want that card. Now, I got a lot of cards, but I don't want that queer card. I don't want to be somebody. I don't want to be somebody known for embracing queer people. So I'm just going, you know, I'm going to be silent about it. Man, where did my silence hit a peak? And I'm thinking about it. Where did my silence hit a peak? 2017. My silence hit a peak in 2017. I have been serving in ministry. Shout out to, you know, I'm not going to call. I promise I'm not going to call. Everybody, if you know me deep, you know what church I come from. The last church I really served in ministry at. And I respect the pastor. I love the pastor. I love everybody I sat under. I love everybody. To this day, I still work with people in the community that do things. And I still help. I still love the people that I was connected to in this ministry. But in 2017, it came to a head because I learned the life of silence. I'm talking about I've learned it from childhood, but it grew to a head in 2017. I was serving in ministry. I was preaching. I was teaching. I was doing life with the kids, develop, you know, deep relationships with ministry workers as well as the youth, man. Taught kids how to drive, you know, spend my money, sacrificing my time, you know, helping, taking kids places to work, to out to eat, to like, taking the basketball games, football games. Like, I was doing all of that. And one day, I was a part of leadership in that church. And I worked in the youth ministry. Shout out to the youth leader. I know, man, I have never even had the conversation with you, man. And I know this is really, really vulnerable for me because I haven't even had the conversation with you. And I consider you a friend. I still, to this day, you know, I don't know how you feel about me this day because I know we, a lot of our opinions differ on certain things, but I still love you, brother. I love you so much, man. I love all the leaders, but I existed among the leaders in that ministry. And one day, one of the young men who sung on the Young Adult Praise Team, he took a picture with his boyfriend and he put it on Instagram. And and it was like an outrage. And all the leaders were talking, and we was like in the side room of the church, and everybody was expressing. And this one dear lady, she's dear to me. She was like, "Well, if you're gay and you got a boyfriend, man, I'm a question even if you're a Christian at all." And so I'm listening to everybody and everybody giving their disdains about it. And, man, they don't understand why even the head pastor really accept this stuff and see this stuff and he don't say nothing about it. He quiet about it. And so the leader of this ministry, he said this, and this is, you know, we all sitting back and talking. And he said, "Well, if you gay, you gonna, and you got a microphone, you gonna sit your butt down. I'm gonna love you, but you gonna sit your butt down and get yourself together before you even do anything else." And y'all, in that moment, my representative was on one side of the room and the authentic Raymond was over here. We were so far apart. And in that moment, the authentic Raymond could see the representative, and the representative could see the authentic Raymond. And the authentic Raymond said to the representative, "Raymond, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing? I don't belong. That's where I felt I didn't belong. I felt I did not belong." And I want one friend that she served in that ministry. I called her afterwards, and she was in the meeting as well. We talked. That's my girl. And I told her, "Man, I think I'm done. I'm done with this. I've gone as far as I can go. And I'm telling y'all right now, my representative to this day, 2024, and prior to this conversation, I'm letting you know my representative did a great job. Shout out to my representative. Shout out, even though he was uneducated on a lot of things, he was unlearned on a lot, but my representative did as best as he could. He can go no further. And that's when the tilling of the soil and the healing started in May 2017. That's when it started. That's when it started, y'all. And it is literally 2024. It's summer 2024. July to be exact. And this has been a journey. And I want to share with y'all how I got here to Bridging Humans. Because I had a lot of obstacles. I needed connection. I needed connection. And I was chasing a false sense of belonging all those years. All those years. And it started when I was a child. It started when I was a child, a boy. I knew that I was queer when I was a boy. I knew it. Man, I can't believe I'm saying this out loud in the public, but I knew it, y'all. And it started as a child. And I want to give y'all an example. Yeah, do you remember the kids in grade school that needed a different kind of help or needed extra help? And the teachers saw them. The students saw them. They saw him. Nobody really said much, but we just kind of pushed him through school. And he got to 11th and 12th grade, and you just pushed him through. You pushed him through. You saw the issues. You saw, you know, the mannerisms. You saw what he was on, you know, but you just pushed him through. And that's how I felt when I look back on my childhood. I was pushed through, especially church. Because church is a heartstring for me. I was pushed through. I was pushed through. And, you know, in school, it's like it's the no child left behind. I feel like in church and in our communities, right, in these groups, it's no gay left behind. And so unofficially, we choose a vow of silence as a child. I learned early on that I needed to hide this. Man, I learned as a child, I needed to keep this secret because this was not right. And I needed to find Jesus. I need to get to Jesus because Jesus was the only one who could change my life. And I knew, and I overcompensated all through my childhood. Shout out to my siblings. My siblings called me the Reverend because I was so into church. I wanted to chase God. I wanted to find God because I knew he was the only one who could take this out of me because nobody made room to talk to me about it. Nobody made space for, I didn't even feel comfortable with talking to nobody about it. So I knew early on, silence. I was a broken kid, mentally scarred. I thought I was chasing God for deliverance, but I was really chasing you for belonging. I thought I was chasing God because I wanted to be delivered. I knew I needed to be delivered. And so all of my actions, when I look back now, yeah, I'm telling it, y'all. I was chasing y'all for belonging. I was chasing my pastors for belonging. I was chasing leaders, my uncles, for belonging. I was chasing y'all for belonging. The women in the church, I was chasing for belonging. And when I look back now, that was a lot of emotional slavery. It was emotional slavery. And that was people pleasing. I did whatever I felt like I needed to do to show up. I did whatever I felt like I needed to do to show up and get the acceptance that I wanted to feel. And if that meant I was getting minimal, if that meant I was getting a lot, that's what I did to show up. That's what I needed to do to show up because I was chasing belonging. Y'all see how heavy belonging follow us? Y'all see how deep when it comes down to building bridges, how important belonging is, and so many obstacles get in front of us, y'all, because we just want so many obstacles get in front of us because we just want to do everything we need to do to belong versus getting genuine connection. Y'all see how important genuine connection is? That's why I want to build bridges. That's why I know a call is on my heart to build bridges, y'all. And y'all, my development was arrested. It was arrested a long time ago, y'all. My development was arrested, y'all. And I had codependency. Yeah, I'm talking about it, man. I had a lot of codependency. I needed to see how certain people felt about certain things before I can even do it, because I just wanted to make sure that I was operating in the right lane. I found a way to float right under the radar. And if that meant I got to lie about some things, I did. If that meant I got to manipulate some situations, I did. This is where I got my introduction to trauma as a child. Abandonment. Inadequacy. Powerlessness. I felt all that, y'all. And I felt like I had the nasty man thing going on. I was nasty and I needed to get this out of me. And so, now granted, you know, I'm not blaming anybody for this. Because I built dads. I built men to follow. My pastors, uncles, leaders, older youth, early 20s, you know. My big brother, love my big brother. That's my heart, man. And so I knew they were silent because I know y'all saw me. And, you know, you wonder, you question, but you're not going to say anything. I want to show y'all what the silence do, how loud the silence is. And so what I interpreted as a child, and for those of you who don't, you know, you don't really believe somebody was born as well, you don't believe all those good things, I want y'all to look and see the responsibility that you put on children, the responsibility you hold to children, because all I knew was the understanding I had when I was 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. And so keep in mind, I was a child. And so what I understood, what I knew is that I needed to go give me some coochie. I needed to do that because this is what I saw everybody around me doing and getting. And so I needed to do that. And so all I knew and all I heard was to, you know, make sure you put yourself around the crowd that you want to be like. Right. You put yourself around the people that you want to be like. So I wanted to be like my heterosexual counterparts. And all I saw growing up in church, Sunday school, Bible study, going to school. Everybody went to church with a Bible belt. Right. Everybody saved. Right. Depending on what side of the line you sit on, that's what level of grace you're going to get. Depending on what pocket of the community, depending on what card you hold, determines the amount of grace that you get in the community and in church. And so I can remember going on church trips, being in a room with a little older youth, and they would bring girls in the room. They would screw the girls. I was 15, 16. Yeah, we just be laying there watching. I saw all of this. I saw all of this. And what it turned into, especially when I was around between 10th and my 10th through 12th grade, shout out to all. I'm still friends with a lot of my grade school friends now. I'm still friends with a lot of the young men I grew up in church with. And so what I turned into was the young man who took everybody around to have sex with their girls, to go get their things up. To go do all these sexual stuff. And I would sit in the car, or I would, when I got home at night, I would, you know, make up stories to tell what I'm doing. And I wasn't doing anything. All I was doing was going home crying, begging God. Now, I did my dirt too, but it was so sporadic because I knew that I needed to withstand and not be in the queer community that way. So I needed to be around my heterosexual boys, and that's what I was around. And so I found myself begging God all the time to remove something from me. But I saw all the other young men my age grow and experience their sexualities in life. Nobody told them they were straight. Nobody told me I was gay. I learned that I was that because it is what I was attracted to. And I'm not going to get off into that, but this is where I learned silence. And the silence, by the time I was a late teenager, before I was 18, y'all, I dealt heavily in depression. I can remember being with my cousin sometimes and we'll be out and I just kind of break down in tears. And they were like, "Hey, Raymond, doing that thing again?" Because I would just get emotionally and mentally tired. And I was one of the apples of my former pastor's eye. You know, he's a great man of wisdom, you know, and he's still here to this day. But I know where we fell out, he did not want me to be around. What that was? I thought I heard something, y'all. Hold on 1 second. To make sure we were still recording. But he didn't want me to be around queer men. I remember I had joined a community choir and this is where we fell out. He was like, "Raymond, I just don't want you around that." And we ultimately fell out because he didn't want me around that. And so that was a struggle for me as a teenager. And this is where the psychological part came in for me, because I felt isolated in those moments, and I'm not blaming him, you know, but this is who I looked up to, but this is what I experienced, isolation. I felt lonely when I was around all my heterosexual counterparts doing everything they did, and I had a cognitive decline because I was depressed, y'all. And this is where I overcompensated, and I felt at this time, you know, I'm still a child, that I needed to overcompensate and be so zealous, y'all. Yeah, I was taking a Bible to school. I was preaching. I was telling everybody about Jesus and getting saved and getting delivered. And I was hard on it, y'all. I wore church clothes to school when I was a kid because I knew that I needed to please God. And what I was really screaming was, "I want y'all to accept me, because I really want to belong. So I got to show up like this so I can belong. I got to show up as a super spiritual kid because I don't want y'all to really see that I'm gay. I got to show up, but I got to sing all the church songs. I got to know Bible script. I got to know scripture by heart. I got to be able to quote it because I want y'all to see that I want God. I don't want gay." This is what I felt. This is what I felt growing up. Being around everybody, watching everybody live life. And this went into my early 20 years. This is my story, y'all. This is what I went through. That's my story. And so I got you up to speed on me. I told y'all how this started. And you'll hear more of my story ongoing. But I just wanted y'all to know and see Ray. And know all the cards that I hold. And in all the cards that I hold, man, I try to treat people like I want to be treated, with respect, with honor. And so if this queer card makes you want to disassociate with me, by all means, because I'm a whole man now. I knew I could not show up and not be my whole self any longer. And if I lose people, y'all, that's a part of the alignment. But that's how serious I am about my existence. That's how serious I am about where I'm going. That's how serious I am about what this show is about. I put all my cards on the table. So if you come on this show, you know, just know I got all my cards out. Because that's how serious I am about connecting communities. And we need to build bridges, y'all. Because the silence has killed so many people in my community. The silence killed us. But got y'all up to speed on my life and the communities that I sit in and my cars that I hold. But I want to talk about before I end this, because I told you it will be two parts this episode. But I want to talk about the problem. The problem is the problem that comes with all of this, especially with my community. When you see people in my community, there's a moral outrage that you feel, right? When you hear somebody is gay, when you hear a story about anything, you see something on TV about somebody being gay, you have a moral outrage that comes up in you. It's an emotion that comes up in you. And it's pretty much when you detect a transgression against my sense of right and wrong. When you detect a transgression against your sense, or I detect a transgression against my sense of right or wrong. So I have moral outrage. This is the problem. This moral outrage prevents us from building bridges. Moral outrage. And so when we have moral outrage, everybody go grab their cards real hard, real fast, real quick, because I got to grab my cards. Because I gotta protect my cards. Because I gotta show I'm morally outraged because I'm detecting right and wrong. And so I wanna belong to what I belong to. So I gotta hold my cards tight. And so when we express moral outrage, this is the problem, y'all. When I express moral outrage, dehumanization comes in. And dehumanization says I'm so much better than you, and your opinion don't even matter. That's what dehumanization says. I'm so much better than what you are. So whatever you got to say about what you going through, it don't matter to me. y'all see how crazy that sound? And so for people who've never been, you've never been queer, you never had a queer experience. You've never had my experience, or you've never experienced something that any other subgroup has gone through. And you want to say my words don't matter? You want to say the other subgroup, those young people, what they got to say don't matter? But you ain't never experienced stealing a car. You ain't never experienced having a baby out of wedlock. You ain't never experienced having to have an abortion. You ain't never experienced losing a house. You ain't never experienced certain things, but you got everything to say about it. Dehumanization. We do that when we feel and express our moral outrage about stuff, y'all. And in dehumanization, I'm talking about the problem, y'all. In moral outrage, there's dehumanization, and then it's expressed through anger, disgust, and disappointment. And I'm gonna tell y'all what I've learned and what I see a lot, y'all, with the over expression of anger, disgust, and disappointment. A lot of y'all ain't even really mad. A lot of y'all don't even really feel one way or another about queerness. A lot of y'all really don't, but because you want to hold your card, I got to show anger. Because I want to hold my man card, I got to show that I'm disgusted. When I go to the barbershop, I got to be disgusted about that gay stuff because y'all got to stop this shit because it ain't right and you going to go to hell. I got to hold my moral card up. That's my expression because I'm morally outraged and you got to show disappointment. And so that begets silence. More silence. We want different parts of our community to change so bad, but y'all, change is not going to happen at all. If the atmosphere and the soil is not tilled for comprehension of what the hell is going on. We around here dying in silence. Everybody got their card, and I'm hanging in my community because my community feels safe. I feel safe here. So I dare not come out of my group. Hell, why? I know as soon as I come out of my group, you're going to beat me. I know if I come out of my group, you're going to tear me down, bruh. So why would I risk everything when I know you're going to just dehumanize me and you're going to show all this disgust and anger and disappointment, but you ain't trying to help me. You ain't trying to see me no better than what you see me. You really ain't. You just want to belong. You want to belong in your religious circles. And so Because I want to belong in my religious circles, I got to show anger and disgust because that gives me a validation, right? That gives me a validation. And the benefit of showing outrage and expression, y'all, we hold on to our cards. I hold my faith card. I hold my man card if I show my outrage. I hold my business card if I show outrage. And y'all, that's the problem. And the struggle is, for me, particularly in my community, the struggle is, I'm going to tell you y'all's struggle, what I see. And y'all correct me if I'm wrong. Write in, comment on this episode. But what I see your struggle is, how can I relate to your group when I'm a part of my group? And I don't get intertwined with people thinking that I'm a part of your group. That's the struggle that you feel. Another part of the struggle, I don't want the stigma that group has. I don't want nobody to look at me and think I got that card. And so I struggle with even saying that I'm cool with somebody like you. I struggle with even going to a barber that's gay. So I'm going to stop coming to you for a haircut because I don't want nobody to associate me with that. But I say I love God. I say I'm a believer. I say I love my community. I say I love black people. But honestly, I'm not psychologically strong enough to associate with the stigma that comes with your group. So that is the struggle. And all of this is rooted in belonging, y'all. It's rooted in belonging. And for us, man, the struggle for us is queer men, and this would go for anybody, but specifically for my group, if I challenge the silence, how I'm going to pay my bills? That's what I've been afraid of for a long time, y'all, because I've always been an entrepreneur. I always made money for myself. And so I know people soliciting me for business, it's contingent on what they think about me. And I didn't want nobody to think any kind of bad way about me. Even though you knew, I didn't want to think anything bad about me. So if I challenge the silence, I can't pay my bills. If I challenge the silence, will my family still love me? Can I still go over for Christmas dinner? If I challenge the silence, will I lose my cards? Because I'm safe in all these parts of the community. And so if I challenge the silence, will I lose my cards? If I challenge the silence, will I lose my position at church? If I challenge the silence, will you stop allowing me to lead because you know I'm gay? And so I'm just going to be quiet. If I challenge the silence, how am I going to be seen as a respectable man or woman if I challenge the silence? And so the struggle for us is challenging the silence. And so, y'all, there are struggles on both sides, y'all. I'm not standing here saying I got all the answers. I'm not standing here saying my community have all the answers. I'm not standing here saying that I know all the answers. But what I'm showing y'all is the problem and the struggle. Because all of us need to belong. I just want to belong, so I be silent. I accept the scraps because I just want to belong. I accept the treatment because I just want to have a sense of belonging, even if it ain't even real. Even if it's a disingenuous attempt for belonging. I want it because I want to belong because I'm human. And I go through like you go through. But I know you ain't gonna accept me this way. And so I'm silent because I want to belong. Will you still accept me in the barbershop knowing that I'm queer because I want to belong? I look a certain way. I make sure I watch who I'm seen with because I want to belong. Man, y'all, this has really been a heavy episode for me. I'm on part two, so I'll put a pin right here because I set out the problem. And I also set out the struggle with building bridges. And I know everybody got feelings and emotions. And I know what sits there is at everybody's core is belonging. But we got to find solutions. And I tell y'all right now, this will be one of the last shows I'm going to do by myself because I'm going to the community next. And I want y'all to hear stories in different communities. I've been telling y'all this since I started. You need to hear some of this shit, y'all. You need to hear some. I'm sorry, y'all. You need to hear some of this stuff. You need to hear some of these stories. Because you're thinking one way, right? You're thinking that, you know, hey, this other part of the community think this way for this reason. But we have to put ourselves in the positions to get to understand how other parts, other subsections of our communities think in order for there to be any change. Listen, I'm not here, and I'll tell you this like I told my parents recently. I'm not here to negate whether being queer is right or wrong for you. I'm not here to negate that. But I want to show you how you treat people. I want to show you how you treat certain parts of the community. I want to show you how you treat the less privileged and you tolerate people. And so going into the next episode, I will be more solution based. One thing, shout out to Kelly Harris. Kelly, I love you so much. Thank you. Y'all, Kelly Harris, she truly, truly, she is so behind the reason why I have received so much of the healing I received because she had to show me. She put the mirror in my face and showed me. And I had to see the broken parts. I had to look at the broken pieces when I didn't want to, y'all. I had to look at that stuff. And I had to get the help that I needed. And so I know you're wondering, like, Raymond, like, did you really have to do this? Yes, I had to do this. Because I wanted to show my cards, y'all. This ain't no joke for me. This ain't no joke for me. This is my life. I had to show my cards because I'm serious about this. So the next episode will be about solutions. Solutions of finding connection in community. Solutions for bridging in communities, different groups in the communities. And then I'm going to the people. I'm getting into the nuance of stories. So if you watched me up until this point and you realize, okay, I can't watch this man no more, thank you for watching. If you've dealt with me up until this point and you realize now because you know I got the queer card, oh, I can't let Raymond mentor my boys. I can't let Raymond. Oh, listen, keep moving by all means. I got a clean record, baby. I'm good. I don't want no kids. I want to help. I serve my community. I am a man that love God, and I'm queer, and I love my community. And this is nothing new. This is nothing that's new. This is nothing that just come up within the past few years because, and I said I was about 10 years old emotionally. I'll tell y'all this before I go, y'all. I just started seeing myself as equal to my heterosexual counterparts at the age of 31. That should not be, y'all. That's a problem. I just now started seeing myself at the age of 31. And I'm 42. I mean, I'm 41, I'm sorry. So I'm about 10 years old, give or take, emotionally, seeing myself as equal to my heterosexual counterparts. That's a problem. And I don't want to see anybody else go through that, y'all. This is different. What I'm doing is different, y'all. I don't know what exactly I'm building, but I know I'm on mission. I'm on purpose. So talk about me if you will. Share this episode. I want y'all to share it and send it to somebody who didn't know from my mouth that I was queer. Send it to them so they can watch it. But please let them watch the whole thing and let them see it. And let them see it so they'll see and they'll hear. But even if you don't, it's okay. Because I'm on purpose. And ain't a damn thing anybody can say to me to change what I'm doing and to take these words back. But I know I love God. I know I love God's people, and I know we all got a story. The world needs to see it. Love you, people. Until the next episode. See y'all later. Peace.